Monday, May 20th, 2019, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado. You know, we get together every single weekday, and we talk sports with a dose of common sense. We'd rather just laugh at a lot of the sports world whenever we get the chance, and we are back for another week. Hey, happy Monday to you. You know, we actually talked about this a few weeks ago with the NFL draft and all, and how we like the NFL draft so much as fans, because then we kind of get to pretend what we would do if we got this player or that player. Because it's honestly, it's a lot like we do when we think of how we would spend our money if, like, we won the Powerball lottery, right? Well, today, May 20th, is actually National Be a Millionaire Day. Yeah, you know, very few of us haven't imagined what it would be like to be a millionaire. How would you spend that money? What would be the first thing you would go buy? Who would you take care of if you went and won that big Powerball lottery? What are some of the things you would go out and you would purchase? Like, what kind of car would you get? What kind of house would you get? Where would you get a house? We like to think about those kind of things. Well, today, National Be a Millionaire Day is a day to start actually taking steps to turn those dreams into reality by making actual, real financial plans for your future. And they say you should follow a few helpful suggestions to kind of get started. Like, you should have a savings account. If you already have a savings account, review it. Make sure you are earning the maximum interest that you can. Increase the deposits that you're putting into that savings account. Review your financial portfolio with a trusted expert. Review some of the investments you have out there. Look at how you can improve those investments. Maybe you can add more to your 401k. If you don't have one, start one. Pay off those credit cards. Review your spending habits. A number of different ways for you to start taking those steps to be a millionaire someday. And you know, I am hoping that on this day, on May 20th, on National Be a Millionaire Day, I'm hoping that a few sports GMs are going to take a look at some of these ideas out there. Because I don't know that they're being that fiscally responsible each and every day. You know, when I see like Le'Veon Bell getting $53 million, I kind of wonder about things. When I see Earl Thomas getting $55 million, Trey Flowers gets $90 million, or when I see Joe Flacco getting, well, I mean, just getting anything, honestly, it does make you wonder how financially responsible anyone is being in pro sports. Make sure you do your part today and you start being financially responsible today. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show, maybe tell us how you plan to become a millionaire. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. And maybe it's not about being a millionaire. Maybe you're like, I'm already a millionaire. Maybe you're like, I have no chance of being a millionaire because I plow through my money like a crazy person. That's fine. Reach out to us. Maybe you've got a question. Maybe you've got a comment. Maybe you have a suggestion for us. Make sure you send that in. We want to hear what it is you have to say. Also, be sure you stop by tpublic.com, where you can find a number of Daily Dose items to purchase over there. tpublic.com has t-shirts, sweatshirts, hoodies, coffee mugs, a number of different Daily Dose items that you can pick up. Just go to tpublic.com, search Daily Dose, and scroll down until you see our logo. There you are going to find a number of Daily Dose things that you are going to want to buy. Hey, today on the show, as we do on many Mondays, we are going to be examining a number of the things that we learned over the weekend in sports. Hey, it was a busy weekend in sports. I watched as much as I could. I took in a number of events, some really good things to watch. There were some really, really interesting things to be learned, though. And let's go ahead and jump in, because we do have a lot to get to. And I think the biggest thing that I learned was last night in that crazy NBA playoff game in the Eastern Conference Finals. I learned that after pulling a total no-show in Game 2 on Friday night, the Toronto Raptors just didn't even show up on Friday night. They got blown out. And I kind of wondered if in Game 3, like, what are they going to do now? I know they're going home. We know they're different when they get to Toronto. But what are they going to do? And the Toronto Raptors in Game 3 last night, they did a number of things wrong down the stretch. But Kawhi Leonard, he just carried that team. The Raptors get a very important win last night in Game 3, 118-112 in double overtime. And now that series is 2-1. But you know, Kawhi Leonard, he goes for 36 points. He gets 8 of those points in the second overtime period. But I mean, a number of things. really had to just break right for the Raptors to get even that close win. I mean, Giannis Antetokounmpo had just 12 points before fouling out. And I am watching the Raptors down the stretch. And really, I'm watching both of these teams. Did you notice, as the game gets tight down the stretch and the game goes into overtime, did you notice how much you see both of these teams struggle to do anything offensively? Because they can't execute in half court. We talked about this a little bit last week. All they do is run isolation basketball. So they post up Kawhi on one block and they pass it down to him. And then you have a little bit of relocation movement outside. But then you just watch Kawhi go one-on-one. Down at the other end, it's the same thing with Giannis. Maybe they do something with Chris Middleton. But it's the exact same isolation basketball. And as big of a win as that was for Toronto, I'm looking at that series and I'm just going, yeah, I don't know that that's going to go well if you end up facing the Golden State Warriors in the NBA Finals. Because I've got news for you. Golden State can execute in the half court. And they can defend what you're doing isolation-wise because they see the Houston Rockets, who do what you're doing sometimes a little bit better than what I'm watching last night. But the Toronto Raptors do get a huge win last night. We did also learn that in the Western Conference Finals, speaking of those Golden State Warriors and the series that they're in, the Portland Trailblazers guards, yeah, they're getting beat up by those Warriors. You know, sometimes in sports, we tend to forget some of the basic kind of rules that apply. And I think we're seeing that in the Golden State Warriors-Portland Trailblazers series. Because one of the most basic rules that is out there is that bigger beats smaller when the talent is right around the same level. And the Golden State Warriors have the bigger guards, and they're facing a smaller guard in Portland point guard Damian Lillard. And they are knocking Damian Lillard around. On Saturday night, the Golden State Warriors come from behind again. They beat Portland 110-99 in Portland to take a 3-0 lead and put the Blazers on the brink of elimination. And let's take a look at Lillard's stats in this series, because he has been so dominant in these playoffs so far. Think about this. Damian Lillard averaged 33 points per game against the Oklahoma City Thunder. He was averaging just 2 turnovers per game. That was the first round. Now, that dropped significantly against Denver. His average per game went down to 25 points, but his turnovers were still at just 2.5 per game. Not bad, and Portland beats Denver. But now, against the Golden State Warriors, Damian Lillard is averaging just 20 points per game, and his turnovers have doubled. They're nearly 5 per game. Hey, the Warriors have played Klay Thompson on Damian Lillard. They have played Steph Curry on him. They have run Andre Iguodala at him. They are not letting him get comfortable at all. And now there are reports that Damian Lillard is playing with a separated rib. Yeah, that's going to hurt. That is not going to be fun at all. Every single thing you do when you have a rib injury, everything hurts. Coughing hurts. Running hurts. Laughing hurts. Everything hurts, let alone when you venture into the key and you get knocked to the floor. Oh, that really hurts. And the Portland Trailblazers are in serious trouble now. And I don't think Lillard can carry him out of this. But think about that one rule. Big beats small when the talent is similar. And I think the talent in this probably even better in favor of the Warriors. But when you thought about this series, Portland had one thing. Their guards are really, really good. We knew their front court maybe was hit or miss. You don't know what you're going to get with Enes Kanter and some of those guys. But you knew those guards were going to be good. In this series, we are seeing Damian Lillard is a very small guy, and he is getting beat up right now, and so are the Portland Trailblazers. They are in some serious trouble. Hey, coming back, we still have a ton to get to today. One NBA player had a really bad weekend. The PGA Championship proved to be a cinch for one player. Well, at least for a while. And we have a very disturbing story coming out about one college program. Hold on tight. It might get a little bit bumpy here in a few minutes. Hey, just a quick reminder that if you have any shopping you need to do, maybe you have a birthday coming in the month of May, and don't forget about Mother's Day in the month of May. Maybe you just want to buy something for yourself. You might as well head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles that feature your favorite TV shows, your favorite movies, and your favorite video games. May's Loot Crate theme is now out, and it is called Nemesis. Dark forces are gathering in this month's crate. That's right. your nemesis is here. Shake your fist dramatically at a collection of villainous pop culture gear featuring nefarious ne'er-to-do-wells. May's Loot Crate theme features items from Jaws, Ghostbusters, and many other franchises, but if those franchises maybe don't interest you, remember, you can always go over to Loot Crate. You can choose from a number of different crates. And if you have a specific franchise in mind, trust me, they probably have a crate for that franchise. You can also order a monthly subscription of crates that will arrive in your mailbox every single month, and you can always skip months if you don't like what's coming. Or you can just order individual items from whatever franchise you want, and trust me, they have just about any franchise you can think of. But the best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, just make sure you type Daily Dose in the coupon box. We are going to get you 10% off of your order just as a little thank you for tuning in to the Daily Dose. So continuing with what we learned from the weekend in sports, and we learned that there was one NBA player that had a really, really bad weekend, because the Indiana Pacers, Tyreek Evans, I'm going to go ahead and assume that he didn't have the most fun over the last few days. The NBA announced late Friday that Tyreek Evans has been dismissed and disqualified from the league for violating the terms of the National Basketball Players Association anti-drug program. Under the program, he is eligible to apply for reinstatement, in 2 years. Now, Evans is just 29. He played with Indiana this season. He averaged 10 points. He had about 3 rebounds and 2 assists per game. Played about 20 minutes every night. But he was due to become a free agent this offseason. And you know, he was hoping to maybe bump up that deal a little bit. Well, they are saying that Tyreek Evans tested positive, not for PEDs or, you know, some sort of steroid thing to help his human growth or make him a better player. No, it's way worse than that. They're saying that this was something on the NBA's list of drugs of abuse, they call them. The league's list of drugs of abuse is as followed: amphetamines, benzodiazepines, I don't even know what that is, cocaine, GHB, which is basically your, you know, roofies, ketamine, LSD, opiates, and PCP. Like I said, Tyreek Evans had a really, really bad weekend. Hey, I hope this guy goes and gets some professional help. I hope he gets his life back together. Forget basketball for a second. You hope he gets his life back together. But I mean, when you think of some of the past players to get this punishment from the NBA, I mean, it hasn't ended well. Think of some of the other players that have gotten booted out of the league for this kind of thing. OJ Mayo, Chris Anderson, Roy Tarpley, Richard Dumas, Michael Ray Richardson, Lewis Lloyd, Pearl Washington, Stanley Roberts. Some of them eventually got reinstated and got to come back in the league and maybe play a little bit. They were never the same. It wasn't like they came back and did bigger and better things. This is a really, really serious charge, and this is really, really bad news for Tyreek Evans. Hey, hope he figures some things out and he gets some help. We did also learn this weekend that the New Orleans Pelicans, they hate the Los Angeles Lakers like no other. We know that this past season, the Pelicans kind of squashed any sort of a trade that the Lakers were trying to make for Pelicans big man Anthony Davis. But then, I mean, New Orleans went out, they fired their general manager, and they hired former Cleveland Cavaliers GM David Griffin, and we saw the Pelicans end up getting the top pick in the NBA draft lottery. Hey, they're probably going to go get Zion Williamson. Things are starting to look a little bit better down in New Orleans. Maybe they're going to figure some things out. And maybe David Griffin would be willing to work with the Lakers. Hey, he knows LeBron. He worked with LeBron in Cleveland. Maybe he won't be so anti-Laker on that staff. Well, over the weekend, ESPN reporter Jackie McMullen reports that the Pelicans owner, Gail Benson, says she will trade Anthony Davis to the Lakers over her dead body. Like, that is not going to happen. She will not, no way, make this move to send AD to the Lakers. Doesn't matter what the offer. She says it's not going to happen. Now, I don't know if that's great business sense. I mean, if someone can give me a ton, then I'm going to take it. I don't care who it's from. I am going to take it. But to be fair, the Lakers probably don't have that much to offer. And based on that, I think Gail Benson is pretty safe taking this kind of a hard line. I don't know what she has against the Lakers. I don't know what the Lakers did to her, but Gail Benson hates the Lakers. And I mean hates the Lakers. She is not going to deal with them. Whatever dreams the Lakers might have had of getting Anthony Davis this next offseason, yeah, it's not going to happen because she is absolutely stomping on that. We did also learn this weekend at the PGA Championship that Brooks Koepka, he can possibly get a little bit rattled, which we haven't really seen before. You see Brooks Koepka get the lead, and if it's going in on Sunday, doesn't matter who he's paired with. It doesn't matter what the weather is. Koepka just goes out, ice water in his veins. He just gets it done every single time. And Koepka had been playing absolutely out of his mind all weekend. He had built up a 7-shot lead going into Sunday. Brooks Koepka was a minus 12 starting on Sunday. His next closest competitor was clear down at 5-under. But starting off Sunday, you could see Koepka wasn't his usual, unflinching self. He had a couple of really bad shots. He had a couple of mistakes we're just not used to seeing. And to be fair, the conditions were brutal. It was windy. It was cold. You could see the wind swirling and the flags whipping. And it was a miserable day for a lot of guys. But you saw Koepka stumble a number of times. And coming down the stretch, hey, the wheels are starting to come off a little bit. Dustin Johnson is making a run. In fact, Johnson actually pulled within just 2 shots of Koepka. He shoots a 69 on Sunday. But fortunately, Koepka had that big lead. He ended up kind of gathering himself, kind of getting it back together. Yes, he went 4 over on Sunday, but that big lead held up. And now Brooks Koepka is the first player to win back-to-back PGA championships since Tiger Woods did it back in 2007 and 2008. Hey, congrats to Koepka. Wasn't always pretty, but those conditions weren't always pretty. He found a way to get it done. Oh, and speaking of Tiger Woods, yeah, he missed the cut. He was eliminated on Friday after he struggled to keep his ball in the fairway. And like I said, that course was tough. They've had a lot of rain up there in New York. The ball wasn't bouncing very well. You weren't getting anything friendly. We saw a number of balls going off in the woods, guys losing balls in the weeds. It was a tough, tough course, and it was a little bit too tough for Tiger Woods to compete with the top-notch competition this weekend. But after he was eliminated, Tiger said, well, you know, I'm kind of playing with house money right now. I won the Masters. I did that at 43. I did that with all the issues I've had. So, I mean, this wasn't my weekend, but I'll move forward. Good for Tiger. Sounds like he took it in stride. Switching over to the Stanley Cup playoffs, which we haven't talked a ton about, but we learned this weekend that when the St. Louis Blues had a bad, bad call go against them in Game 3 of their Western Conference Finals game last week against the San Jose Sharks, the Blues didn't whine. They didn't complain. They didn't get mad. They just got even. In Game 3, the NHL officials missed what everyone thought was a really easy call because the game had gone to overtime. And a San Jose Sharks player grabs the puck and passes it across the goalie for an easy game-winning score. And the Sharks took a 2-1 lead that they probably didn't deserve. The problem for the officiating crew was they hadn't seen it at the time. And that is a play that is non-reviewable, which makes no sense whatsoever. Because when you think about hockey, they can go back and review an offside from like 20 minutes ago, like 3 shifts ago. They'll go back and review that. But they were like, yeah, we can't review a hand pass. Sorry. We all see on the replay. Guy grabs the puck, throws it across to a teammate. His teammate bangs the back of the net. Sharks win, and they can't review it. Our bad. You know what? Sorry. Maybe next year. And the game was in St. Louis. I mean, St. Louis fans were furious. And I mean, you have to think that the Blues players and the Blues coaches weren't all that thrilled either. So they complained all weekend and then just got eliminated, right? No, that's not what St. Louis did at all. The Blues went out on Friday. They scrape out a very tough win 2-1, which even the series. But then they weren't done. Yesterday, the St. Louis Blues went into San Jose and ripped the Sharks 5-0 to put San Jose on the brink of elimination. Hey, I told you last week, San Jose has been the beneficiary of a few calls. They got that 5-minute major in the opening round against Vegas. They got that garbage too many men on the ice in Game 7 against the Colorado Avalanche. But you know what? St. Louis didn't care. They're like, yeah, we got a bad call go against us. We're not going to whine about it. We're just going to worry about what we can control. And the Blues are taking care of their business. They now return home for game six and they are up 3-2. Hey, St. Louis could finish off the Sharks and they could move on to their first Stanley Cup finals since 1970. Who saw this coming? Nobody. Especially with that bad call, especially with all the breaks going against them and San Jose having a 2-1 lead. No one thought the Blues were going to play their way back into this. Hey, I give their coaching staff and that team a ton of credit. No complaining, no whining. Let's just go get it done on the ice. And they have absolutely done that. Of course, we know the Boston Bruins are just sitting there and waiting for whoever comes out of the West. And I would imagine Boston is going to handle whoever they face. They're just experienced. They know how to win. And they're going to be very, very well rested because they rolled through Carolina. Stanley Cup playoffs haven't been quite as good as they've been in past years. Not as many tight games. Really, really good in spots. Not great across the board. Let's switch over to a little bit of college basketball. I know, it's not the season. This isn't really the time for college hoops. We're getting into the summer. College basketball, in fact, couldn't be further away than it is right now. But we learned that there is going to be some very real pressure on Memphis Tigers head coach Penny Hardaway this year. Because over the weekend, the Memphis Tigers pulled yet another five-star athlete in their recruiting class because they get five-star forward Precious Achiuwa, who becomes the latest elite recruit to pick this Memphis Tigers team. He chooses the Tigers over Kansas, North Carolina, Connecticut, and Georgia. So the Tigers add Achiuwa to an already loaded class. They've got James Wiseman. They've got four-star recruits DJ Jeffries and Malcolm Dandridge. And don't forget that Penny Hardaway already had four-star athletes Lester Quinones, Damian Baugh, and former Duke commitment Boogie Ellis. And then he also has a graduate transfer, Rajon Tucker, who they say is going to be a legitimate stud. So now, we are exactly where we thought we were going to be when Penny Hardaway took this Memphis job. We talked about it here on The Dose. Hey, Penny Hardaway was a big-time AAU coach, and we knew he was going to pull in the top recruits in the country. He knows them. They've seen him. A lot of them know who he is, and now he has this big-time job. And Memphis is a unique situation. They love their college basketball in Memphis. You can go to Memphis and win. I don't know if you can do it for a long period of time, but we have seen Memphis teams in the past. Hey, Memphis supports the Tigers. But now the pressure does shift to Penny Hardaway because this is no longer about recruiting. You've got recruits. You've got a ton of talent on that squad now. Now the pressure changes. Can you coach these kids up? Hey, it's not a gimme. I know a lot of times we look at basketball and say, hey, you roll the ball out, you see what you get. If you've got better talent, a lot of times you're going to win those games. And a lot of times that's true. But keep in mind, Memphis does play in a reasonably competitive conference. The American Athletic Conference, they've got some pretty solid coaches in it. I mean, Dan Hurley is up at Connecticut. He's a decent coach. You know the line he comes from. Kelvin Sampson, we saw what he was doing this year at Houston. Kelvin Sampson can flat out coach. Yes, sometimes he does things on the edge of, you know, maybe being illegal, but Kelvin Sampson can coach. Tim Jankovic at SMU, he is probably one of the best unknown coaches in the country. Johnny Dawkins is at Central Florida. We know Central Florida can get some athletes. We saw what Johnny Dawkins did in the tournament this year, giving Duke all they wanted with Taco Fall. And, of course, we know Greg Marshall at Wichita State. They weren't great this last year, but you know he's going to reload and he's going to get them going again. Penny Hardaway, you have the most talent, maybe in the country. Best recruiting class this next year. They passed up Duke getting Achiuwa. But now we need to see, okay, can you coach these guys? Can you get them to commit to you and your program? Can you get them to buy into a system? Because we talked about it this year in March Madness. How many teams did we see maybe not fully buy into a system that got beat by what was probably lesser talented teams who did buy in, who did commit and said, hey, We are five guys. We are going to come out and we are going to find a way to beat your one or two superstars. Think about Texas Tech and what they did. Think about Virginia. How many players on Virginia could even start for Duke? Maybe one? Maybe? And yet somehow Virginia wins the whole thing. Now can Penny Hardaway get these guys to commit and say, hey, I know I'm going to the league. Yes, I have these NBA plans, but for this year, we've got to commit, come together as one, and run a system that is going to be better than other teams' systems. Maybe they don't have the talent that we have, but if their system's better than ours, we're going to end up getting beat. It is going to be really interesting to watch the Memphis Tigers this year. I don't know when the last time was we said that. Maybe when John Calipari was there? And I mean, we knew he was going to be vacating all that stuff eventually. But watching the Memphis Tigers this year is going to be must-see TV. Finally, we have one of the most disturbing stories of the weekend. And like I said before, buckle up, this might get a little bit bumpy. We learned that a now-dead Ohio State team doctor sexually abused at least 177 male students from the 1970s through the 1990s. And numerous university officials got wind of what was going on over the years, but wait for it, did nothing to stop him, according to a report released by the school on Friday. Dr. Richard Strauss groped or ogled young men while treating these athletes from at least 16 sports and working at the Student Health Center and at his off-campus clinic. That is what we are being told by investigators from a law firm hired by the university. Strauss, who actually killed himself at age 67 back in 2005, nearly a decade after he was allowed to retire with honors, this whole story just makes me sick, could cost Ohio State dearly because of corroborating lawsuits brought against the university by a number of the victims. The findings by these investigators put Strauss, of course, in a league with gymnastics doctor Larry Nassar from Michigan State, who was accused of molesting at least 250 victims, and with someone like Penn State's Jerry Sandusky and all the child sexual abuse that was going on up in Happy Valley. The abuse at Ohio State, they say, went on from 1979 to 1997, and it took place at various locations across Ohio State's campus, including examining rooms, locker rooms, showers, saunas. The report describes one patient, this is going to be rough, who came in with strep throat, and Strauss spent 5 minutes fondling his genitals and never examined any other part of this poor kid's body. Another victim had grown up in a rural area and had never gotten a proper medical exam because every time he saw Strauss, Strauss was molesting this poor kid. But like I said, it is actually worse because the law firm hired to conduct this investigation for the school interviewed hundreds of former students and university employees, and the report found that many of the students thought the doctor's behavior was just an open secret and that coaches, trainers, and other team doctors all knew about it. The students described the examinations by Strauss as just something they had to go through. It was like being hazed and going through a rite of passage. Now, as disgusting as this all is, and I hate to even end the dose today on this note, when we hear these things, we are going to be hearing in the next days and weeks and months, we're going to hear Ohio State University officials say things like, well, that was then. We've put precautions in place. We have changed the way we do business. Why are you bringing up this old stuff? Why are you bringing up these things that happened 20 years ago? None of that stuff is relevant. We have now taken measures to make sure these kind of things don't happen again. Yeah, I don't believe any of this for a second. Because the simple fact is, these universities are making money hand over fist. And if they saw these same things happening today, you're telling me they wouldn't do the same thing? If they are worried that something like this will affect their bottom line, hey, they're not telling anybody. And understand this. We look at some of these big universities, these prestigious universities, and we say, well, what's their bottom line? Their bottom line is student education. It is to help kids. It is to help people move forward in their lives. Yeah, that's not their bottom line. It is not about athletics. It is not about education. It is certainly not about safety. It is about money. It's always about money. So they can say, and you're going to hear this, hey, this would never happen again. That was then, this is now, this stuff would never happen again. But let's all be real clear. If this was going to be affecting their profits, you had better believe all of these schools would treat it exactly the same way again and again, because they don't want it touching their money. That is the most important thing to these universities. Do not get it twisted. That is what they care the most about. Hey, tomorrow on the show, we will of course be looking at some of the biggest stories in the world of sports. And then, you know, we are getting close to the NBA finals. The NBA playoffs are rolling along. We just might have to start looking forward a little bit to what is going to be a very, very interesting NBA offseason. There are some things in the NBA offseason, honestly, I'm looking forward to them more than I actually was the NBA season. There's going to be some very interesting things taking place over the next few months. Going to be talking about those this week. Got to make sure that you tune in for that. Have to say thank you all so much for listening to the Daily Dose on your Monday. For all of you that share the show, that tell a friend, that tell a coworker, a family member, thank you so much. We appreciate that. It is the only way we get new listeners. Hey, I have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a great Monday.